This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose. I've been thinking lately about imaginary gardens and real gardens and real work. Imaginary gardens can be good or bad. We need to be able to visualize gardens, both imagined and real. We need to plan and we need to remember gardens with our memories. But there's a kind of imaginary garden that uses fantasy and that is not realistic and that doesn't acknowledge real work. I'll give you an example of this kind of imaginary garden. One day, one of my former students came to visit my garden and I took her around. My husband and I worked pretty hard on our garden and I told her about the flowers and the habits of the flowers and the names of the flowers and gave her quite a tour. And as she was leaving, she said, "So, this all just grows, huh?" Well, if she'd been taking a test from me, I think she would have failed. I think this is the subtext of a little section that Catherine White writes about in her Onward and Upward in the Garden that appeared in the New Yorker magazine periodically for several years. Speaking of gardening with less labor, a device called Flowerama burst upon a wandering world a year ago come May. You probably saw the exclamatory full-page ad in the Times. A scientific breakthrough. Amazing. Just unroll the magic carpet. No topsoil needed, no weeding, no work at all. Hundreds of gorgeous flowers all summer long, or your money back. So ran the pretty story. The carpet, it seemed, was, quote, a self-contained medium, and there were, quote, 101 ways to use it. You could cut it with scissors, place it around trees in circles. You could make figure eights and grow flowers in the shape of your initials. Although an unbeliever, I unlimbered my scissors and sent off my order for one carpet and my check for $4.95 to Horticulture Incorporated, the firm behind the new wonder. In due course, the carpet arrived. It was 18 feet long, medium gray, and looked like the stuff you put under wall-to-wall carpeting. It also looked like the messy interior lining of soft book mailing envelopes, and it was bursting with seed. I cut it in half, thinking to plant half for a solid mass of bloom and to spell out something with the other half, probably the word welcome, though I considered the words keep off. The dry seeds sprang out of the carpet so alarmingly at my first attempt to fashion a letter that I abandoned the idea and decided we would settle for only a 9-foot, quote, riot of color. On a damp, warm evening in June, attended by a cloud of mosquitoes, I unrolled the half-length of the magic carpet and laid it down as tenderly as if it were a baby, on good soil at the edge of the vegetable garden. Following directions carefully, I watered it. Then nature took over, and we had the wettest June in years, bringing with it a crop of weeds that, despite the advertisement's claims, did not appear to be in the least cowed by the mulch of Flowerama's carpet. Our first magic flower was a lone Escholtzia. It struggled up painfully through the gray fibers in July. By mid-August, there was a small patch of tiny purple and brown pea-like blossoms, which I did not recognize. The first week of in September gave a handsome stand of Shirley poppies about a foot long. A solitary annual chrysanthemum followed. Well, that was all. The carpet had a tendency to scuff up in spite of the continuous wetness, and from June until frost, the long blanket lay there, looking as if a couple of Boy Scouts had spent the night in our garden end to end. Eventually, our dachshund, who is always inflamed by a stray rag, discovered it and carried bits of the blanket about with him from place to place. Well, considering all, it probably wasn't a fair test. But there can be no doubt that our Flowerama was a flop. Perhaps I didn't really want this form of magic. I didn't approve of it. And I notice that plants I don't approve of seldom do well. This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose.